Okay. Good morning, everyone. A good night of Shabbos. The Friday schedules will be clearer by next week. This week, we're just sort of getting warmed up. But this is something we're going to be doing, Bezus Hashem, every week. I don't know if we're going to be doing it at this time particularly. It could be a little bit later on Fridays. But what we do over here, which I would hope to try to do as much as we can, we call it Parsha Fundamentals. I actually saw that Rav Aaron Lupiansky just started a shiur called Parsha Fundamentals. I was very excited. Also a similar concept. The basic idea is that a lot of times we kind of like are missing some basics. We're missing some fundamentals in Yiddishkeit. In fact, there's something that I offer to, I guess, the world at large. We have a podcast. I don't think you can get it in yeshiva, right? The phones don't get podcasts. But we have something called Fundamentals where we're going through the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah. We're going through the Hakdama of the Sefer Achinuch. I try to do that on the side to give out to the people out there. We'll try to figure out how to get those shiurim available on our computer for everyone. But what we do over here is very similar. And what that is to really know things inside, to be knowledgeable in a real way. A lot of times we build our Yediyas HaTorah in a funny way. We hear a Dvar Torah, a Gematria, this and that. And we don't really know things from their sources. And that makes us smaller people. A lot of times we're sliding under our chair from basic things. So what we're going to try to do is do as much fundamental basic ideas in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, and their sources so that you know things. This is actually something I learned from my Rebbeim, that the greatest thing is to read things inside and to know where they're from. So we're going to start. This week is a very fundamental week. It's a very fundamental week. So we came at a good time. This week raises a major question. In this week's Sedra, Parsha Shoftim, we deal with the most basic issue, which is there are two aspects to Torah. Right? Two aspects. Torah Shebichtav, right? And what's the second aspect? The second aspect that we spend all of our days on? Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, it's a little bit tough over here, Gavi. Thank you. Gavi, thanks for supporting me over here. It's a chesed. I knew everyone. Yehuda, I knew you knew that, but still, you're fresh here. You're not going to scream out, so Gavi takes a hit for the team. Torah Shebaal Peh is what we spend our days in, but I want to give you a little bit of a historical context to the major problem over here. There were a group of people in Klal Yisrael's history who were a very powerful force called the Karaim, the Karaites. They believed only in Torah Shebichtav. And they were a powerful force. If you think that conservative and reform are a force, those are kids' play compared to the Karaim, because the Karaim were very, very frum people. In fact, the Gemara discusses that when they get into a mitzvah, they do it mamish b'mesiris nefesh ad hasof. What did they believe, the Karaim? They only believed in Torah Shebichtav, written Torah. And that was a very big thorn in our sides, because without Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, the vast majority of what we do would be gone. And how do you argue with these people? Why is it so easy for them to have a shita of Torah Shebichtav? If you think about it, it's a very easy attack. Why? Because Torah Shebichtav is written down. It's very easy to accept that. It's here in front of you, right? Torah Shebaal Peh is based on humans, right? So once it's human beings, once it's people, and it's not written down, so then you could argue on whether it even exists or whether it's somebody who just makes up things, right? Korach originally started this type of idea of arguing on Moshe Rabbeinu being mefakpek in Chachamim. If you think about it, it's very, very scary. It's very scary. The very basis of the Torah is that it has two parts, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. I want to show you something fascinating. I'm just going to throw in as much during this time. I usually just, the problem is I throw in too much, but I'm going to try to throw in as much as I can. One of the most fascinating proofs that we need Torah Shebaal Peh is the stress of all Balei Koreh. right? Why is it so stressful to be a Bal Koreh? There's no nekudos in there, right? You open a Torah, do you notice? Right? It's very stressful. In fact, somebody a few years ago, he was stopped by all the Rabbanim, but he was a big Eloi. He had an idea to make a Sefer Torah with like a mesh cover where you could see the letters and the nekudos. It would be like all Bali Korah, you wouldn't need a Bal Koreh anymore. And he was making Sifrei Torah like this. Someone in Harnof, he was stopped. But wow, that would be something very nice. How do we even know where to stop in a pasuk? How do we know how to pronounce anything? Only through Torah Shebal Peh, which means Torah Shebichsav, written Torah, and Torah Shebal Peh are so tied that you can't even read Torah Shebichsav without the rabbis. If the rabbis wouldn't tell you what to, when you're looking at the Sefer Torah, how to pronounce things, right? We love correcting. The Rosh Yeshiva spoke about correcting Bali Koreh, right? Every word in the Torah could have 1,000 ways of pronouncing it. The answer is that there's a bond between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. You even see it when you're reading Torah Shebichsav, you're already using Torah Shebal Peh. And there are words in the Torah that we don't understand. What's the word totafot? Totafos. Can anyone translate it? What does it mean, first of all, totafos? You're a step ahead of me, and you're right. But I want, what did totafos mean, though? When it says it in the pasuk, when you're talking about totafos, what object are you talking about? Tefillin, exactly. However, what does the word totafos mean? Here my friend Reb Moshe is already alluding to, there's no definition. If Art Scroll writes tefillin, it's incorrect. The definition of the word totafos is totafos. It doesn't have, they write the word phylacteries. So imagine putting on a pair of phylacteries. It scares me, these English words for things. You know what they call the Chumash? A pentateuch. Like, no thank you, you know. Like, that's what you're going to call it. I'm not interested. But totafos has no pshat. Moshe is referring to the Gemara in Sanhedrin that tot in African, in one dialect of African, is two. Fot in another dialect in African is two. Actually, if you look in Rav Aryeh Kaplan's Living Torah, he found the two dialects of African where tot and fot are two and two. Very interesting. And that's how you know you have four parshiyos of tefillin. But if you wouldn't know that, my friends, you would have no clue how to put on tefillin. Yoni, you put on tefillin this morning, right? How do we know that tefillin are black? Doesn't say it in the Torah. How do you know that they have straps? How do you know that they're square? How do you know that they're made of leather? How do you know anything about tefillin, my friend? Do you know, Yoni? Who said that? Halacha? What's your name again? Tzvi Wolfish? Tzvi, Halacha L'moshe Misinai. The Rambam starts his Hilchos Tefillin saying there's a whopping 10 mysterious Halacha L'moshe Misinai in how to make tefillin. You need 10 Halacha L'moshe Misinai. That means the Torah just says the word totafos. So Yoni, in order for you to wear tefillin bichlal, you need Torah Shebal Peh. And this is so fundamental. In fact, the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who's from the early Rishonim, some 900 years ago, he wrote that the Karaites, who believed only in Torah Shebichsav, you'll see inconsistencies in everything they're doing. There's no way that they could even put on tefillin without agreeing to some level of Torah Shebal Peh. And really, there's a lot of hypocrisy over there. Okay, so we accept that we need... How do we know we need an esrog in the Torah? Anyone learning sukkah over here? Pre-Eitz Hadar. You know what a pre-Eitz Hadar is? It's a beautiful fruit. Maybe a mango, a guava, right? A passion fruit, right? Imagine picking up a passion fruit, showing your passion to Hashem with your passion fruit. Pre-Eitz Hadar, it doesn't say anything about what you're picking up. It says a beautiful fruit. Without Torah Shebal Peh, we would not be able to have Torah Shebichsav. This would be an empty text. And this is a very important thing to realize. So why is this week's parsha the makar for Torah Shebal Peh? because this week's parsha is the makor for Beis Din HaGadol. There was a Beis Din that sat actually in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara. For years, I couldn't picture where they sat until somebody came out with a 3D of Rav Michal Stern in his Perish on Midos, came out with a 3D Perish, which finally let me understand where they were. It sounds like it was on stilts. The way he argues, the Lishkas HaGazis was actually in the Azara, where the Mizbeach was, where they did Karbonus. There was, like, on stilts, a Sanhedrin that sat in the Beis HaMikdash. I was so excited when I saw this picture. Sometimes a picture is worth more than 1,000 words, right? Because sometimes you can't picture it even after 1,000 words. And I saw this. I don't know if he's right, by the way. I don't know if he's right, Rav Michal Stern, but if he is, it's cool. Okay? Not everything is right that you see. You have to, when you're learning Torah, you have to put on your boxing gloves and, like, not accept everything. Right, you have to fight on it, especially newer things. I never saw this before. I just saw this 3D. I'm not sure if he's right, but if he's right, it's geschmack. Right? So the Sanhedrin sat in the in the Azara, and the Shechina rested over there, and they called the shots. And in this week's parasha, we have Ki Yipale Mimcha Davar. If you don't know what to do, Lemishbat Bein Dam LeDam Bein Din LeDin. You don't know the difference in bloods. When do we have a shaila in bloods, my friends? To know the difference between one type of blood and another type of blood. Nida, right? In fact, by the way, you guys, Bezus Hashem, right? All of us will get married and build beautiful families. And there's a whole shaila of what's defining blood, right? You think, right? You get blood, a blood stain on your shirt. Hey, that's blood. No, it's not pashut. It's not pashut. In fact, you need a whole masorah. Rabbeim have to sit by their rabbeim for many, many months to know the color red. This is not a job for colorblind people. And a lot of times, you're dead sure that something's red, and the Rav says, it's not red. What? It's red! Right? No, because the definitions over here are Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, this is one of the great masorahs that we have. And this is why you always have to go to a Rav on these things. You never could decide on your own. You could think something's red. Rav Eliashiv once said that in Yerushalayim, there are people who see white things and they think they're red. And there are people who see red things and they think they're white. And the answer is, you need your own Rav to determine these things. Unbelievable. That's Bein Dam LeDam. Bein Din LeDin, you know, Paskin Shilas. Bein Nega LeNega. What are the blemishes in the Torah that need the decision of a Kohen, actually? Saras. Saras is something we don't have today, leprosy. But you need decision-making on site. None of this is in Torah Shebichsav. Right? Divrei Rivos Bisharecha, and fights. Fights people have, right? Jews know how to fight, unfortunately. Right? They always say, you know the old joke, right? We have to say a corny joke, right? How many, you know, if you're on a desert island, how many shuls do you need? Two. One you go to and the one you don't go to, right? You need a shul you don't go to, right? That's Yidden. By the way, a Dayan once told me, I didn't even start with what I was supposed to say today, but a Dayan, it's a very good chill on Fridays. We just have a good time. But a Dayan once told me, what's the biggest action in Beis Din today? All the Batei Dinim. You know what the biggest action is? Where they're the most busy. What was that? Shuls, close, neighbors. Hilcha Shechenim, right? Porches, it's great to see you. A porch, right? Sukkahs, right? Who gets to put the sukkah? If you watch in this country, you know, it's like, I don't know what goes on in America, but here you got people who, like, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, they put their sukkah on the roof, like, so nobody else can get it. It's like, hey, that was my sukkah was there last year. Well, I'm here first, you know? Hilcha Shechenim is a major area, the biggest area of discussion in Batei Din is the neighbor's sugya. So this is all things. Uvasa l'kohanim l'avim v'ashov v'nesh yiyah b'yamim mehem v'darashta v'gidu l'chas dvar ha-mishpat v'asita al-pi ha-dover sh'yagidu l'cha min ha-mokam ha-hu asher yivcha Hashem v'shemarat l'askol ha-shirucha. You must follow Beis Din HaGadol. You must follow Beis Din HaGadol. So this is the makar. The Torah is dynamic. What do I mean the Torah is dynamic? Torah is not just a written sefer. In fact, all of us are part of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is based on human understanding of Klal Yisrael. When we learn Torah, how do we do this? So here the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, on your sheet, it's I made a copy of it, but this is the Rambam. The Rambam, we're going to get very friendly with the Rambam over here. We're going to get very friendly with the Rambam. The Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah. What's the Mishneh Torah on, my friends? The Mishneh Torah and all of the things I'm telling you today are for a reason, because I just want to fill you with yedias. The Mishneh Torah is the only sefer we have that was written on everything. All halacha, from Hilchos Brachos all the way through Tyrus. Most Rishonim, this includes the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rashba, all the great famous ones, Rashi, Tosis, you name it, basically focused on the areas. Rashi explains all of Shas, and Tosis is there. But the Ramban, Ritva, Rashba, mostly areas that were nogeya to them in their lives. So if you look, when you get to Kudshim, you're going to find, you're not going to be able to find Rambans, Ritvas, and Rashbas. Whoa, where'd they go? They spent most of their time on relevant material for them. Kudshim is not relevant in the Gullus because, unfortunately, it's Chorban HaBayis. But the Rambam dealt with every area. That means he's going to be the most important person when Mashiach comes. We have the Rambam ready for us in all areas. And by the way, now that we came back to Eretz Yisrael, why did the Rambam get back on the map? What in Eretz Yisrael? It's coming up, my friends. Shemitah, Trumas, Maisris. How many of Klal Yisrael really lived here in all the years? There were small little yeshivs. Now, we're all here. How do you do Trumas and Maisris and all these things? Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote this many volumes. Our great Gadol Hadar wrote on the Rambam in Hilchus in Zroim, just this much. It's called Derech Emunah, and it is like our direction in all of Hilchus, Trumas and Maisris and Shemitah and all these things. So here we have the Rambam. This is Hilchus Mamrim. The word Mamrim means to rebel. The Rambam takes all of the halachas and puts them in places where you should talk about rebellion. What other things does he put in Hilchus Rebellion other than going against Bezdin Agadol? Here's a little Musa for us. Going against parents. He talks about that here. He actually brings Kibud Ava'im in Hilchus Mamrim, right? Who are the people who rebel? Kids. Unbelievable. The Rambam puts Bezdin Agadol you have to listen to, and you have to listen to your parents. Unbelievable. Anyway, over here, the Rambam says, I think you have it in front of you. Bezdin HaGadol b'Yushalayim heim ikar Torah Shebaal Peh. You hear this? Bezdin HaGadol and Yushalayim are the ikar of Torah Shebaal Peh. Heim omud ha-ra'am heim chokum mishpat yotzeh l'cha Yisrael. V'aleim iftikha Torah al piyat Torah she'erucha v'al mishpat asher yom l'cha tasa. This is from our Parsha. The Parsha of listening to the Bezdin. Zu mitzvah saseh. V'chol ha-maimin bim Moshe Rabbeinu b'toraso. Whoever believes in Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah, chayiv lismaich maisa hadas aleim v'lishon aleim, must rely on Bezdin HaGadol. What happens if you don't rely on Bezdin HaGadol? What happens if you go against them? It's actually a death penalty. Why? Because you're messing with all of Torah. If you mess with Bezdin HaGadol, you're messing with all of Torah, and there's actually a chayiv misa on that. And now we come to something else, which is this Parsha not only has Zakin Mamre, which is to go against Bezdin HaGadol, but it has something else. How do we know that we have to follow the rabbis at all? Durabanans. How do we know we have to follow Durabanans? Who says we have to listen to them? Who said that? The Torah, but where? Lo Sasser. Who's that? What's your name again? Chaim, you're in this week's Parsha. Lo Sasser. That in this parsha of listening to Bezdin, thank you, Chaim, there is a mitzvah not to veer from the Chachamim. Let me ask you a question. What does that mean? And this is a big issue. Rav Elchanan Wasserman really deals with this in his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim. Who do you have to, Chaim, what do you have to listen to of the rabbis? Don't say everything. No, don't say everything. You know what? You were mechavin to the Sefer HaChinuch. Whatever you would have said, I would have found you a Rishon L'Chaim. Except if you said nothing, then I'd call you a Zakin Mamre, which would not be good. Everybody would be pelting you, Chaim. Okay? If you have to listen to everything, what about Chachamim today, Chaim? If you have to listen to the rabbis today, what? Come on, mix it up, Chaim. No, the Rambam actually says there's no clear... Actually, the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. Whenever we say Rambam gently, we mean Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. But whenever we go Ramban, we put the ban in, that means Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman actually says, Lo Susser does not be mechayev you to listen to the rabbi today. However, let's go over this. Unbelievable. The Sefer HaChinuch, who most think that it was the Ra'ah, he says even the rabbis today, if they get together and there's a minhag to follow, you have to listen to them today. That's the mitzvah of Lo Susser. So actually, if a person, muksa, for example, muksa is not a Torah mitzvah. However, according to the Rambam, if you are over on muksa, I'm not down for muksa, right? You're over on a Nisr Doraisa. Why are you over on a Nisr Doraisa? Muksa is Durabana L'chaim. The answer is, you're over on the Doraisa of not listening to the Chachamim. It's a very interesting catch. But according to the Ramban, that's not true. You know where's the only time where this Parsha says you have to listen to the Rabbanan? Only times. How they interpret Psukim. What does the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, say only about interpreting Psukim? Anyone want to take a guess? Why would the Ramban say it's all about how they read Psukim? How do they read Psukim? With Yud Gimel Mido Shatar and address them. There are 13 ways of darshaning a Pasuk. What's that? Could be a kofar in Torah. In Torah itself, exactly. Shimshon is saying that it's about the Torah itself. The Ramban says how they read Psukim is there's a mitzvah doraisa to read the Torah like a Jew. Not like a guy, you know, there's a King James Bible out there, by the way. King James Bible. You can read the Torah like a guy if you want to. If you want to read it like a yid, you have to read it with the 13 ways of darshaning, what we call kal v'chomer, hekesh, all the zereshava, right? All the things, klal uprat, prat uklal, klal uprat uklal, all of those things that we've seen in Shas. That's how we're supposed to understand the Torah. Says the Ramban, if the Chachamim learn the Torah with those principles, that is Torah. That's Torah. And that's the Parsha of Lo Susser. So to sum up what we what we learned today, we first talked about the idea that there's two parts to the Torah. Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition. We pointed out that even when you open up a Torah scroll, you already need the rabbis. Right? You can't even pronounce them, the words. You don't even know the trup without the rabbinic teachings of Torah Shebal Peh. We pointed out that there are words in the Torah you'll never know. Priei Tadar. How do you know it's not a passion fruit? Right? Totafos. What in the world are these totafos? Right? 10 halakha l'moshe misina is just to make a pair of tefillin. By the way, you know how the Karaites, I once saw a group of Karaites today. I visited them. Pretty exciting. There's a few left. The Kutim, remember the Kutim? They've come up in Shas. They actually have a little chevra here, and I went to visit them in their houses. Unbelievable. They're like old school apikorsim. I don't know if they're Jewish anymore, so it's not so bad. But it's fascinating. You know how they write their mezuzahs? They have a big, like, parchment on the doorpost, because it says you should write it on your doorpost. So that's what they do. Unbelievable. And their schach, they live on Har HaGrizim, like the old days. they sacrifice. Guys, we should make a yeshiva trip there. They also, their schach is so cool. You know why? Because they don't hold that you need schach that doesn't, that they hold you, your schach could be makabel toma, which means you could use fruit and vegetables for your schach. So they had like apple schach. It was gorgeous. Like red apples, green apples. I was like, I was pretty tempted to stay there. You know, I was like, whoa, it's a little bit scary. Right? But there is still a group like this. They're not a powerful force, so now you can just visit them. I don't think anyone's going to want to stay there for yeshiva. I'm not, it's kedai to see, it's just mechazek our emuna that they still, these people still exist. Anyway, so we have Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. We have Beis Din HaGadol Yerushalayim that reside in the actual Mikdash, whether on stilts or not, I don't know. But they're there, the Shechina's there. They're the ones who are the final say in what Torah is. If they say this is Torah, and you think differently, even if you think, if they tell you your yamin is your smol, your left is your right, like Rashi brings from Chazal, you have to go with them. The Ramban says two reasons. One, if they tell you your left is your right, then if you don't listen to them, then the whole Torah will fall apart. Even though you're confident, this is my left hand, I'm positive. No, it's right, no, right? The one opinion, the Ramban in one Lashon, and the Sefer HaChinuch says, even if they're telling you something wrong, go with it. Go with it, because otherwise Torah will fall apart. However, the Ramban adds something else and says, no, check again. It's probably your right hand. You're probably just confused. Like, this is my left hand, this is my left. No, it's your right hand. You're making a mistake. Because the Shechina is shura on them, and a lot of times you'll be dead sure that they made a mistake, but you're the one who made the mistake. And this is the, in the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Mamrim, which is the parak about, the prakam about rebelling. There's a chi of misa to argue on Beis Din HaGadol, but in general, all derabbanans perhaps are based on the parsha of Lo Sasser. According to the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, all derabbanans, including Minhagim, have to do with the parsha of Lo Sasser, which means you're over in a deraisa if you don't wear a yarmulke, according to the Rambam, because it's a minhag Yisrael. Obviously, if you're Sephardi, do we have any Sephardim here? Any real Sephardim, not Nusach Sephardi? Yeah, real. Do your family wear a yarmulke regularly? Or yeah, okay, but some don't, right? Some Sephardim don't. It's not the minhag didn't come. It's not as strong of a minhag by them. Minhag Yisrael is Torah according to the Rambam. You're over on Lo Sasser, my friends. According to the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, he says, no. Of course you have to listen to the rabbis. From where? We're not sure. Rav Elchanan Wasserman asked the question, where do we have to, how do we know have to listen to them from Muksa? Nobody knows. See Rav Elchanan, he explains that they're able to just know. The rabbis know. But it's a good question. The Ramban says only in interpretation of the Torah, because the Torah Shebichsav needs Yud Gimel Mido Sheh Torah Nidreshes Bahem. The 13 ways of attacking a pasa, Kavachomer, Hekesh, Zereshava, all of those things that we don't even understand today, how they work. I have a Kabbalah from my Rabbeim that we don't even understand these things. Anyone who spends too long on Klalu Pradu Klaus in Morning Seder, according to my Rabbeim, is wasting their time. Meaning, if they say, whoa, it was mamayit a simla, a shirt, and it wasn't mamayit a vacuum cleaner. Why? That's a waste of time. We don't even understand, like, why was it a goat and why was it... No, that's not where we spend our time in Morning Seder. Just get it down, the basic pshat in the Gemara. But this is the source of Torah Shebal Peh, this week's parsha. And according to the Sefer HaChinuch, my friends, even today, when the rabbis get together and make a decision for the klal, and you have to know what's called a real decision. Not everything's a real decision, and the word Das Torah, I don't like that term because it's a misunderstanding. I don't have a makar and shas for the word Das Torah. I don't like that term. The term Das Torah is often abused. It's not like if you want to know if you should buy a Volvo or a Cadillac. Das Torah is that there's no makar that you have to ask a rav or should ask a rav about such a thing. It's a narishkeit. But there is a concept of the rabbis getting together today even and making a big decision. You have to determine whether it's real. Don't just, because there's a sign out there, don't just follow the signs. The signs are scary, right? But you have to listen to your Rabbanim. The Sefer HaChinuch says this will continue until Mashiach Tzidkenu. Everyone have a great Shabbos.